Could we open the meeting this evening by singing hymn number 169? Number 169. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. If it's convenient, we'll rise to sing number 169.
God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation put at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Enough by faith I claim him mine, the risen Son of God. Redemption by his death I find, and cleansing through the blood. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. My Savior from above to die on Calvary. Love brings a glorious fullness in, and to his saints makes known the blessed rest from the inward sin through faith in Christ alone. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. His souls rejoicing go, there shall to you be him, a glorious foretaste here in love, of endless life with him. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the Savior from above to die on Calvary. All victory done o'er Satan's power, death of the ransom chained, and triumph now in every hour through Christ the Lord. King. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary.
Now we're just going to pray and ask God for his help and his blessing on the meeting tonight. Our Father, we come into thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee, our Father, that right at the very commencement of this meeting, we can sing of the wondrous love of God. We praise Thee, our Father, that God loved a world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. We praise Thee, our Father, that Thy love has not just been in word, but we thank Thee that it has been so clearly displayed in the giving of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He came into the world. We thank Thee that He came with that purpose before Him, that He would go to Calvary, and there He would be the sin-bearer, that He would give His life for sinners, on behalf of sinners, to pay the penalty that we so much deserved. We thank Thee that Christ died for our sins. And we praise Thee, our Father, that the Lord Jesus, who came to do this great work, to provide salvation, we thank Thee that He finished the work, that it was entirely and completely accomplished. And we remember those words that He cried from the cross, "It is finished." And we praise Thee that the Savior died, was buried, and we thank Thee that He rose again from the dead, and He is alive forevermore. We thank Thee that there were those who saw Him. They looked upon Him in resurrection, risen from the dead. And we thank Thee, our Father, that He was taken up from this world, taken up into heaven. We remember that the disciples, they stood and they watched as He was taken up from them into heaven. And they heard that message from the angels, that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So we are reminded, our Father, that though the Lord Jesus has gone into heaven, He is coming back again. And our Father, we pray that all in this meeting will be ready for Him at His coming, that all will be trusting Him as their own and personal Savior, that they will have their sins forgiven, and our Father, that they might be caught up together with Him, to be with Him forever. And our Father, we pray that tonight as we open and read Thy word and we preach the gospel, we pray that it would be blessed to all who have come, whether younger or older, or perhaps some that are listening online. We just pray that Thy word would be blessed to all who listen. And we pray for Thy great salvation to be seen and evidenced here even tonight, with sinners repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So to this end, we ask for Thy help. We pray for Thy blessing. We pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in and as a result of the preaching of the gospel. And we pray for every other place where it is preached. We pray that Thou wilt bless it. And even where it has already been preached, we pray, O God, that there might be results from the preaching, that there would be signs following, that there would be salvation. We ask these things in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
I give everybody a very warm welcome this evening. Glad to see all that are here. Glad to see the boys and girls, of course, as well. And make sure you sit up really good tonight and listen carefully. And we give a very warm welcome to our brother Noel Bryan from the Windsor Assembly. Thank you, Noel, for coming along. Noel's going to preach the gospel this evening to us, and we trust that he has the help of God to do so this evening. Now, just some announcements to be made for this week that we've entered, and we announce them subject to the will of God. And it's a busy week. Back to our full winter program. So Monday, 7 o'clock, Bible Explorers. Right? So make sure you're back tomorrow night for the Bible Explorers. And the speaker on that occasion is our brother Paul. Tuesday at 7:30 is the gospel meeting in Purdiesburn, and I'm responsible for that. And then Thursday at 7:45 is the prayer meeting and the Bible reading. And the passage under consideration is Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And then next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel at 7. And we expect a David Porter to be along next week for the preaching of the gospel. We give you an invitation to all of those meetings and trust that you'll be able to come back again. And we just hand the meeting now over to our brother Noel.
Thank you, Brian, for your welcome. And I'm glad to see all who have come tonight and the children here up at the front. I'm always glad when I look down and I see children at the meeting. It helps me, and I thank you for coming. And I hope that you'll be able to listen, and that God will bless you tonight as we're reading from the Bible. I'm going to read in 1 Timothy, and first of all in chapter 2. And I want you to ask yourself, maybe as you're listening to the scriptures, the Bible being read tonight, I want you to think in your mind as we're reading it, I want you to ask the question and see if you can find the answer. Is God interested in people? So that's the question I want you to think about whenever we're reading these verses. And I want to remind you that when we're reading the Bible, we are reading the Word of God. It's God's message. In fact, it was Paul that was writing this letter to Timothy, and he wrote a second letter to him that we have in the Bible. And in that second letter, he said that all Scripture, the Bible, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now that's difficult if you're young to understand what that means. But really what Paul was saying to Timothy, you see, the Bible, it just came from God. It came right out from God. And though he used a man like Paul and others to write it down, it was just God breathing out his word. So this is God's thoughts that we're reading tonight, and I want you to be asking yourself the question, is God really interested in people? And I think you could even find the answer to that question in the first verse. So Paul is writing, but it's through what God has told him to write down. And he says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort. He's encouraging people. He's telling them this is what they should do. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, or all mankind, all the people. So he's saying, we should pray for everyone. We should pray for everyone. That's the message. So I hope you're thinking about that question. Is God interested in people? When he's saying, pray for everyone. So I hope you're getting the answer in your mind. And he goes on to say that they're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So even kings and people that are in authority were to pray for everyone, even those really important people in the world. And he goes on to say, now there's another little clue in the answering of the question in verse 3. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And listen to these words, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So I hope that you really are getting the answer here. God who will have all men to save. He desires, he wants all, everyone to be saved. So you've got the answer to the question. God is interested in everyone. Paul goes on to say, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul says, I'm a preacher of this message. God has made me a preacher to tell out this message that God our Savior will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that was a question I had for you, and I hope in the reading you have been able to answer it in your mind that God is interested in everyone. But I want to read just a few verses in the previous chapter, in chapter 1, and I've got another question for you to think about as we read it. I hope we've got the answer. God's interested in everyone. But now I want you to have a question in your mind and see if we can get the answer as we read these verses. And that question is God interested in individuals? Not just everyone in the world, but is he interested in individual people? And you could ask yourself, I wonder, is he interested in me? Well, we're going to read in chapter 1. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing here, and we'll break in at verse 11, and he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now I wonder, as we've been reading in chapter 1 in those few verses, were you thinking about that question, is God interested in individuals? Maybe it was a little harder to just if you're young and trying to get all that piece together. But you know, in these verses in chapter 1, Paul was saying, you know, there was one time that I was really an awful, terrible person. I was a blasphemer. He was speaking against God. And he was said, I was a persecutor. He persecuted people that knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he wanted them to be stoned. He wanted them to be imprisoned. He wanted them to be killed. That was the sort of person he was. And he caused injury to people. But he said, I obtained mercy. Now, if I was to explain to you what mercy is about, let's suppose you had done something that was wrong, maybe at school, and your teacher had said, you know, if you do whatever that thing was, maybe if you were going to make a lot of noise in the class, the teacher said, well, I'm going to give you extra homework. And you started and you made a lot of noise. And you came to the teacher and you said, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean it. I was distracted and I made too much noise. And the teacher says, all right, I'm not going to give you that extra homework. You deserved it because the teacher had said, if you do this thing that's wrong, I'm going to give you extra homework. But then the teacher felt sorry for you. It was a mistake and you didn't mean to do it. And, well, that's the teacher showing you mercy. You deserved the punishment, but the teacher didn't give you the punishment. Paul goes on to say, I obtained mercy. But he said something else. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love. And he uses this word, grace. The grace of the Lord was toward him. Now that's a little bit different from mercy. Whenever you had done what was wrong and your teacher decided, I'm going to show you mercy. I'm not going to give you the punishment that you deserved. That's one thing. But let's suppose you didn't deserve something and your teacher said, you don't really deserve this, but I'm going to give you an extra hour outside playing today. Oh, you didn't deserve it, but that's the teacher being kind to you and giving you something that you really didn't deserve. Well, that's really the sense of the word grace. You see, Paul, there he was, he blasphemed the name of God. He injured people that were Christians. But he said, I obtain mercy. I deserve to be punished, but God didn't punish me. And what's more, it's not just that he didn't punish me. He showed kindness to me. He's blessed me. He saved me. I didn't deserve it, but he saved me. So when you think about these events in the life of Paul, we can answer the question. I hope you're thinking now, is God interested in individuals? And when we see the example of Paul, we have to say, yes, he is. He looked down at this man, and though he was a terrible man in what he did, God didn't punish this man. God actually saved him. So we can answer these two questions. We can answer the question, is God interested in everyone? Well, he says, pray for everyone. He says, God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when we ask the question, is he interested in individuals? Well, he certainly was interested in Paul. And he saved him. Well, you know, I want to tell you that's not just, and it's true. And maybe at Sunday school or in the children's meeting, Bible explorers that you have, you learn the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know God loves the world. He loves everyone. And in these verses it says that there's one mediator. Well, that's a big word, but you know, here's God. He's up in heaven. And here we are, and we have sinned against God. We've done things that are wrong. We have offended God. We have done things that we never should have done. And many things we should have done, and we didn't do them. And we are sinners before God. And the Bible says that our sins have separated between us and God. There's a big distance between us and God. You see, God's love and his kindness and his grace has reached toward us. And Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's us. And there is one God in heaven, and one mediator between God and man. Look at that distance between us and God. Because of our sin and God's holiness and righteousness, but the Son of God, he came down into this world that he might be the mediator. That's someone that can come between people that are separated, some problem between them, and a mediator can come and can bring them together. Well, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to die on the cross to provide salvation, that you and I, who are far off from God, our sins might be forgiven and we might be brought back to God. Now, I don't want you to be in any doubt. I don't want you to be mistaken. I want you to realize that God loves everyone. But I also want you to think tonight, and I want you to realize it, and I want you to really take it in, that God loves you. Well, it's not just everyone, and he does love everyone, but he loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his Son to come into the world. And he had something to do, something to accomplish, a work that he had to finish. And it was the most difficult thing that anyone could ever undertake, because he was going to die for our sins upon the cross. And the Lord Jesus, he was nailed by hands and by feet. He was lifted up on the cross. And the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. That's the wrong things that we have done. That's our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, those terrible, dreadful sins that we have committed. He was bruised upon the cross for our iniquities. And the punishment that would bring us peace, it was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be sure, we can be certain, we can be without any doubt that God loves us, that the Lord Jesus loves us, that he died for us upon the cross, because God, our Savior, will have all. He wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it tells us here of the Lord Jesus Christ, this mediator, this one that comes between God and men, that we might be brought back to God. It says he gave himself a ransom for all. He paid the price for our sins. Christ died for our sins. You know, this man, Paul, who once was such a sinner, and we're all sinners. We have all offended God. We've all sinned against God. But this man, Paul, he obtained mercy. He didn't get the punishment that he deserved. God was showing grace to him. God gave him something that he never deserved. He gave him his great salvation. You know, in another book, Paul was really appreciating this wonderful blessing of salvation and thinking about the Lord Jesus dying for him on the cross. And he said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." There's how personal it is. It was for me. It was there on the cross. You know, sometimes I think that we just think of it as being something distant, something that happened so long ago. Maybe it was relevant to certain people in that day. But I want to assure you tonight, I want you to really grasp this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it wasn't just about the people that lived in his day. It was for us. And you can realize it, and you can appreciate it. Oh, he loves the world, but he loves me. And he gave himself for me. He died for my sins upon the cross, that I might be forgiven, that I might be cleansed from my sin, that God might show me mercy, that God might give me his wonderful grace in salvation, that I might be ready for heaven. You know, you might ask the question, this sounds wonderful, that God loves the world, and more than that, he loves me. But how can I get this lovely blessing of salvation? You see, Paul rejoiced in it. He was so happy that he was saved. Well, there was a man once asked Paul, and his friend that was with him, asked him a question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they were given a very clear answer. This man, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." So this is how you get this blessing. It is by trusting the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross, who gave himself, who provided salvation, and it's available. Yes, I hope you're clear from this book that came from God, that God loves everyone. But he loves individuals, and he loves you, and he gave his Son to die on the cross for you. And if you want to be saved, you, even here tonight in this meeting, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, there's a promise from God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved in this meeting. The Lord Jesus has finished the work on the cross. He did everything that was necessary to provide salvation, and it's available to you tonight. And I would just want you to realize God loves you, and He has provided salvation for you in the person of His Son, and you can receive the Lord Jesus. You can trust in Him, and you can be saved tonight. Now, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy great love toward us. We thank Thee for giving Thy Son, this one who is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. And our Father, we thank Thee that salvation is available for all. But we praise Thee that it can be taken, it can be received by any individual. We think of the children here, perhaps those that are older, people listening online. We pray that they might realize tonight, I need this Savior, and He is available. And may they trust Him for salvation tonight. So we just commit the need to Thee and ask for Thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, just as we close, we'll sing 257, just the first and third verses of this hymn. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Come believing, come believing, come to Jesus, look and live. We'll just remain seated as we sing verses 1 and 3 of 257.
Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you